Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. If you blink, you won't miss it. But if you listen, it'll not seem like 2 hours. Like, that's the general premise of that kind of cut. Anyway, TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com is the website which you can go and donate to support the cult of personality known as Vinny Eastwood. But unlike normal cults, we don't lie to you, tell you what we think you should do, tell you what we think you should know, and give you our opinions on stuff or whatever, and tell other people how to live their lives. That's called authoritarianism, ladies and gentlemen. F that Shiite Muslim. Now, my very special guest is the Anarchy Girl. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
I am hearing you just fine, and borderlining on fabulous is my standard response to the how are you question.
That's always good. Fabulous is always within the ballpark.
One can only
it's always the safe one.
So, the Anarchy Girl, Lauren, would you please give us a little bit of background on who you are and what it is you do?
Well, I'm actually a third generation anarchist. So I was kind of born with the ideology itself. Always making, even in school, I've always was the different kid because, you know, I wasn't indoctrinated. No matter how hard they tried, I was always the problem. So I went from there and moved to Virginia Beach. I had a daughter that was her 21st birthday. She was coming out of a nightclub and she was targeted and beaten by Virginia Beach Police Department. From there on, I just came out with the activism and started Anarchy Girl and staying strict to, you know, the typical anarchist ideology, not bearing off anywhere and just keeping myself simple.
So for those who aren't aware, what is anarchy? All right. Now, first of all, I want to define this for the audience. Anarchy is not chaos. All right. Anna means a lack of, and archy means rulers. Okay. So, do you want a ruler, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, you don't. Well, you've got to support anarchy then. That's the only way to do such a thing.
Yeah, I think and anarchy itself is one of the most logical ideologies out there because it's not giving you the illusion of, you know, grandeur. It's telling you how it is and you have to work on it voluntarily. It's not going to be, you know, simple, easy. It's going to be rough at start, but that's where, you know, mankind wants to strive for consciousness. So consciousness is over in anarchy. You have to be conscious to be an anarchist. So, you know, I think it's a push where most people would be afraid to go, but it's the only true part of freedom you're ever going to have. So, you know, you can choose chains or you can choose freedom. And anarchy is freedom. There's rules, but there's no rulers. Everything's done on a voluntary basis.
Now, people are currently programmed and indoctrinated into a society where the very concept that you won't be told what to do, you won't be forced, you'll actually have to obey your conscience and take personal responsibility for what you do in society is not only an alien concept, it sounds like insanity to people who've been programmed by the system, you know what I'm saying?
Of course. I mean, when you're born in bondage, you don't see your chains. It's only later on do you develop that insight that you're like, hey, something's not right here. What is it? and you see how thick the chains go and how long they actually are and how long it's been around for. I mean, our monetary system itself has been dated back, I believe, back to ancient Sumeria. So writing on the cave walls during ancient Egypt, they were telling you they were enslaved. The Sumerian people were telling you they are enslaved. You're still enslaved. Nothing has changed.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. And, of course, you know, the interesting thing is what do politicians campaign on a platform of after you've been really sick of the last campaign? Oh, they're going to campaign on a platform of change. And does anything change? No. Get used to it. What did you make of the alternative media, so-called alternative media in the United States, just going full on?
We need Trump to save us. We need our Messiah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm graced with not having a television, so I don't have the weapon coming at me. So I don't really know what goes on mainstream media anymore.
You live a blessed life.
No, it's a lot easier to give up than what people think. But I stay tuned to like alternative media. You know, I'll watch Buzzsaw. I'll go ahead and, you know, the anti-media, Free Thought Project. So we all know, you know, what's going on and what's not going on. So I kind of stay within that loop and try not to pollute my mind with straight propaganda.
You know, that's actually not too bad a point there, really. I had to actually think about this for a moment. You know, I don't have the TV either. And not only that, but I never, almost never, watch anything mainstream media on the internet unless it's to rip seven colours of crap out of them, you know, in an edited fashion, you know, like... The one thing that I love doing, and this has really gotten, this has really given me, it just warms the cockles. Maybe other things other than the cockle, but the doing a hit piece on a hit piece, all right? So you get a mainstream media hit piece against like the Vax documentary or something like that, and you go line by line and counting basis, just go, this is a lie and this was the truth, this was the lie and this was the truth, and so on and so forth. And it makes you feel good doing that, because you're confronting the very bollocks that other people are using as a justification to curtail your freedoms.
Yeah. Well, you know, mainstream media also has a way of taking something, a subjective opinion, and making it seem like it's fact. And, you know, the rest of the herd will run with it. So, you know, I think there's a whole lack of education, of common sense, logic, morality. Give it the whole nine yards. I think when they indoctrinate everybody, it's such on a minute level, it's fed on ego and fear. So, of course, they're going to come out. I believe we're in one big mental asylum. Nobody is well. There's a percent of people that are making sense, but to the average, you know, he could be, you know, I was talking to, you know what, let's just go there. You know, here I'm debating with a straight statist. I don't know what wing of the bird he is. It didn't really matter. But here he's naming off all his degrees. But you know what? Here I'm asking questions and talking to him on a level that has to do with logic and common sense. And he could not hang on. He couldn't get it.
That's why I left university, because I realized they weren't teaching me critical thinking. They were actually just critical of me because I could still think despite going to university.
Yeah, when he started reading down his degrees, it's like, you know, I think it was Mrs. Institute that says, you know, the self-taught far advanced the geniuses and the most educated people from different universities. I was shocked because I thought at least he was going to give me somewhat of a challenge, and there was no challenge there because he was lacking the concept of morality even. So, you know, here he's going through life feeding on sick ego and thinking he's probably righteous. It's okay for the police to pirate on roads and extort people, which is a hidden tax. And he finds that morally acceptable. And I just, you know, couldn't answer me why. And the reason is because he believes in a false illusion.
And that's the problem with belief in general. If you subtract knowledge and replace it with belief, look at the result. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. You know, not even here. I just moved down to Houston, Texas, which is the battleground of panic store.
That is one. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Wow. Yeah. That is one. And, you know, they say that, you know, they're by the law. Okay. Well, I'm completely objectivist to this whole situation because, yeah, you can use their laws, but we're not going to go with the same game you've been running in each courtroom. Let's go by all the laws. So the law says I don't have to, number one, my vehicle is out of jurisdiction because it's got Virginia tags. Number two, I'm not driving, I'm traveling, which is a private, completely private from commercial. And people buy their plates and they do this and that. They register it. You're signing a contract with the state under commercial law. So, but there's also an exemption law. When you get caught for that, you can file an exemption. And that exemption is that that does not apply to you because it doesn't, because you're driving as a private citizen, which is traveling. So I'm fighting that now here in, you know, the good old Texas out here. So this is my second appeals. The last judge that I went above, well, I'm sorry, above, in front of, completely tried me. We had a bench trial. She tried me without the information. The officer didn't have the information. The prosecutor said that the information was in there and there was no information. So me and him went back and forth, but in turn, they're not doing their homework because there's no, the court clerk signed a citation. She can't be doing that either. Signing the complaint as she's acting as the prosecutor. So she's operating without a law license. It's a whole big mess. I shouldn't have gotten to where I'm at because I filed my motions and my exemption. It's within law. There's nowhere they can go from here on out.
Well, so nothing I'm fighting legally. That. But that's the interesting thing with the legal system is that most of the time they don't follow their own laws.
Mm-mm. And they deem you wanting to be having your own inherent rights in this so-called land of the slave, United Snakes over here. You know, the country's supposed to be founded on sovereignty, but then they'll go ahead and claim, oh, well, you're a sovereign citizen, you're a domestic terrorist. Yeah, you know what? I guess they would be in front of a mafia because the sovereign person wants nothing to do with the mafia, but the mafia wants to suck on them like a parasite. So if you want them off you, they're going to demonize you. It's such a bizarre sickness. And then there's those who believe it and follow it. So you have to kind of defend yourself when they call you a sovereign citizen. It's like, how is that an insult?
Well, yeah, it's just kind of like the way that during the Warren Commission after the assassination of JFK, the CIA released a private memorandum saying, hey, there's a whole bunch of people that are questioning the lies that we're telling them about us whacking the president. Call them conspiracy theorists, all right? Create an entire culture of ridicule and that kind of thing. Don't use facts or evidence. Don't listen to them. Just call them names, all right? Just do it. And I saw this beautiful, and I think this was the mainstream media piece that I debunked the other day, you know. And one of the first thing it says that America is the home of conspiracy theories. And that's why. Because it was the CIA that created the conspiracy theorist term and weaponized it to use against anybody who questions the status quo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's just to go through the things the United States is held responsible for, even way before I was even born. It's so detestable and disgusting that why wasn't there any, I mean, I'm sure there were some philosophers who were, you know, mixing in ideology, understood and was aware, but they didn't have the internet like there is today. So you can kind of spread it all out and more people can hook onto the ideology, understand it, live it, feel it, embrace it, push it. You know, since anarchy isn't very political, it's a way of life. It's based on morality and principles. I mean, so a statist is telling me you can't live by morality and principles, then you're obviously the threat.
Just thinking about this as well, because if you're going out with morals and principles, I think it was the Libertarian Party. There was a big meeting here in New Zealand, right, and there were like 9 political candidates or something like that, but they only actually let 3 of them speak, right? And I was thinking to myself, how is this really giving anybody a really fair show to really say their piece? How is this allowing people to, you know, use their statism and votes and everything like that? And so I went to the Cannabis Party, and I went to the Libertarians Party, and a number of other of these rejected things, and we all put in broadcasting standards complaints because the media was literally censoring the frickin' opposition, right? And the one people who would not resist, who would not go, oh, let's actually do something about the fact that there's scumbaggery, were the Libertarians. And I thought to my, you know, oh, it's their choice to be corrupt and be scumbags and stuff like that. And I go, but where's your moral obligation, bro? Where's your actual sense of justice?
True. I mean, isn't it? It's like it. You're amongst the chaos, and you're the calm in the storm, and you're watching how people are speaking to each other, but they're completely missing and lacking common sense. Like the elephant of common sense is sitting in the room. How can you not see it? I mean, you have to be completely blinded and fully brainwashed to not see it. Like me, it bothers me. I see it and I want it removed. Other people, they just walk by it like it's not even there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's unbelievable. It's like it's like when you discuss with somebody about police departments, a lot of, you know, and I understand that because people have this overwhelming feeling of fear. It's been indoctrinated and pushed on you. Fear is not natural. I mean, it is an instinctual part, and it's very real. But the way people live in fear and they don't realize fear, because say something tomorrow happened and the police departments were all defunded and they were gone, people would say, oh, there's chaos in the streets. No, you would have spontaneous order at the stoplights. You would have mutual respect. You would see actually the community coming together. And that's something the state does not want. You can also privatize your own police department once they get normal used to this transition. At least the funds are voluntarily coming from you. And when they start the bullshit that you're doing now, you defund them. That's it. We're not going to pay for gang harassment. We're not going to do this. So a lot of people, you know, don't want to. They listen to the idea. And it's so very possible to have, but they want to scream, oh, it's utopian. You have that utopian idea. No, I have that freedom idea. You're telling me to leave a country and I'm trying to give you freedom. You know, it's you know, I'm always told, if you don't like it here, why don't you leave? No, how about you leave? Because there's a million other countries that are so statist. You can find that perfect one where you'll be held tight into a cage. But just let us be free. You know, the anarchist always goes by the non-aggression principle. That's another misconception. A lot of people say, oh, you know, when people meet me, you know, I tell them, listen, I'm an anarchist. And they're like, oh, are you one of the ones? No, we don't go off and destroy, you know, private property and. You know, they're... Yeah, like, they're...
I'm sorry, we don't work for the police. That's not our job. you know? I mean, we don't put on black ski masks and go destroy stuff so that the mainstream media can demonise the protesters and prevent the WTO protests from continuing and so they can kettle everybody together and arrest everybody en masse. Sorry, that's not what an anarchist is. That's what police is.
Mm-hmm. Or they'll think that we'll show up to some type of political event. Number one, an anarchist wants nothing to do with any political event. The left and the right wings can sit there and beat the crap out of each other and kill each other. The anarchist will still be in the background just saying, I told you. You know, they just sit back and watch the fires ignite because everything is so moronically done. It's so immoral. There's no logical basis for any of it.
Oh, my God.
You can...
Just with the most brilliant idea I think I've ever had politically. You get everybody who's a statist, right wing, left wing, and you have a couple of Colosseum games, all right? And you let them kill each other while the anarchists watch and drink beer.
That would be a possibility. Definitely would be a possibility, yes.
And it'd be slightly less violent than the current system of government.
Oh no! Oh, and can you imagine? It's like you know they have this fear of the anarchist ideology. The anarchist ideology is the only ideology that's going to set you free. So it's not, why not embrace that concept, understand it, know it, instead of, oh my goodness, I'm afraid of the word anarchy. No, you've been indoctrinated to believe that anarchy is bad. You live in chaos. You live in towns and countries where you have to be afraid to, you better put your seatbelt on, or am I going 2 miles an hour over the speed limit? There's a cop behind me, and what's he going to pull me over? Because everybody knows the distrust of what they are. They'll pull you over for anything and extort you. You are paying, you're being forced to pay for a service that sees you as the combatant. How illogical is that? Not even that, but if you explain the concept of revenue extortion to a statist, they think you're crazy. They absolutely think you're crazy.
They're part of a cult. And essentially, what is it? Cult plus time equals religion. And I think the statism is a religion. And
it most definitely is
the single most powerful religion in the world, because you can see it everywhere you go. It has become the Matrix. You can see it when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you pay your taxes and help your landlady carry out her garbage.
it is, you know, I think it's so harder for the person who's taken the woken pill than the sleep pill, because once you're awake, you can't, there's no going back to sleep. And if somebody can pretend that they can live within this society as immoral and unjust as it is, and they can go along to get along, they're not well. Like, no moral person cannot just sit by, let things roll. Oh, I don't want to make waves. No, because in turn that makes you the problem. Because as soon as you see the problem, you should address it. When evil is spoken, you need to bring light to it. So it's disgraceful and disgusting. I mean, I'm sitting here, you know, watching politics. You have a globalist agenda of their own government empire that is inside, you know, ruling this country. And you have the left and the right fighting to kill each other to get that, that seat on the throne. And here's the peasants, the slaves, the rest of us on the outside out here believing the delusions of the lies that these party speakers are speaking to them. And it's utter nonsense on both sides. It's both absolutely disgusting. And then there's the anarchists that's just swimming around, seeing all this, and they see it. Like, they see the Matrix codes falling right behind, like, falling. So there is something to say about, you know, when information is given to you and you are knowingly putting it aside and not thinking twice because your ego and your family and your whole tradition was based on this illusion and lie, it's so hard for them to let go that they'd rather kill you than let it go. And that is the problem. And I think a long way, people who think on that type are sociopathic in some type of way, where the brain is not activating properly, especially the limbic part of it.
Yeah. And to explain that, ladies and gentlemen, just a little bit, when you don't get enough love from your mummy and enough protection from your daddy, your brain does not develop properly. You've got two different hemispheres. One is feminine, that sees in color, it sees in big pictures, it sees in intuitively, and the other is the male brain. Okay, it's analytical, it's very logical, facts rule, that kind of thing. If you don't get those two positive influences, your brain doesn't develop normally. Now, within those two hemispheres, there's actually three layers. So the top layer there is your neocortex. That's what does all your thinking. And just underneath that, that's your limbic system. That's what does all your feeling. And just underneath that, on the bottom of your brainstem, there's your reptilian brain. That governs your fight or flight. That's what keeps you alive when shit's going down, right? Now, what happens with, if you don't get that love, you don't get that balance, not only do the two hemispheres of the brain become retarded, and retarded means held back in development, for the technical terms out there, but also you get an overactive limbic system response to intellectual stimuli. So instead of thoughts coming into the neocortex, so you have a chance to think about them first, you instantly feel something, and the limbic system is intrinsically connected to the reptilian brain, so you instantly do something. So the normal person who goes, oh, let's think about that. Lynn, let's see how we feel. Okay, now we do something. They go, I feel it, I do something. You know, that's basically how it works. And
that's how they react.
And understanding that dynamic, you understand how the entirety of society's idiots work.
And what's really scary, it's the same type of people that are sitting behind the desk prescribing, you know, all kinds of medicine for the normal person who doesn't want to live in this reality anymore. It's insanity.
Excuse me, doctor. I'm feeling really depressed. Well, why is that? Well, I'm not fulfilling my potential, and there's ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery that basically run every aspect of my life and tax me without consent, and I can never actually have a real conversation with anybody. Oh, yeah? Well, why don't you just dope yourself up, bro? Like, what's wrong with that? You know, will that change the situation? Oh, it doesn't. Oh, it'll only make the situation worse. I have to take personal responsibility for my own life and my own actions and stop listening to people who are lying to me and make my own decisions and think for myself, oh, that just sounds like too hard work. Give me the drug.
Yeah, or you'll see them and they'll repeat the same regurgitated stuff, like the word snowflake. And it's like, snowflake, you know, you hear that on, I believe it's the Republican side that's regurgitating that. And then on the other side, they use, right, everything's racist, 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 racist on that side. And you're stuck in the middle watching all this go down. And as soon as you put your two cents in of logic and common sense, both will unite together and attack you.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane to watch, like on a psychological level. Like that's how mentally ill majority of the population is. That's a pretty scary thought.
Yeah, well, trying to understand the mentally ill has what effect on the minds of people who are sane? They start to get slightly more mentally ill. The more that you understand craziness, the crazier you become. Not entirely dissimilar from the more educated you get and the more indoctrinated you get by the state, the crazier you become as well.
Yeah.
It's inextricable. I don't know the mechanism.
The self-entitled ones are just they might be the worst of the worst. I call them the self-entitled ones. It's the ones who always believe they have that right to be intrusive on you.
That's a personality, I have a right characteristic of narcissism, actually.
Yes. narcissism seems to be running rampant. It's the culture. It's what this is all learned behavior. And with some learned behavior, a lot of people have they gain insecurities even from a very early age, and they carry that through into adulthood. And that itself is detrimental. So a lot of times people will adopt a false self within the status of self, don't get me wrong, but they're still lost inside. It's almost like you're watching them struggle, but they're comfortable struggling. Because if you go in to, you know, lift them out, they'll chop it off. So the anarchist is stuck between a position of, okay, listen, I want us all to be free. We all got to get together. We're all brothers and sisters. Let's try to do this. Let anarchy happen. And when the time comes, you fund for services that you want. Your labor is your labor. We can do this. Let's put it this way. You could still have an army. You can still have all that. Because if another country was to step, they actually have to step on the land or have some type of aggression coming towards this land before you can go off and terrorize other countries. That's what, you know, if anybody steps on your land, on the lands, the mass continent that you're on, and they try to invade and slaughter and kill you, you're obviously going to need help to get that off you, because not everybody has the same anarchist mentality. People have this destroy, conquer, and steal. Like they're wicked like that. That's why
my friend Nick calls them Statenists.
Yes. That would be a perfect, it would be like the having, you know, the tares and the wheats, and you have your Cain and Abel's. So you kind of, you know who's moral and who's righteous and who is not. And I don't know if it has to do with based on some type of a consciousness awakening, but not everybody's awake. It's a very small amount. More and more.
Well, it doesn't take a very large amount of people to foment revolutions. However, I'm starting to question that logic a little bit here, because although statistically speaking, only 6% of the United States population actually resisted England, 3% of the Bolsheviks resisted the Tsarist Russia, and 1% of communists resisted the Chinese regime at the time of Chairman Mao. And what's problematic about all of those is they were all either secret society members, as is the case of almost every single founding father of the United States was a high-level Freemason. Many of them hated each other. They were Rothschild financed directly, right, as a false dichotomy. So then my whole hope of, oh, we only need a small percentage of the population in order to take control over society is actually starting to wane somewhat, because my faith was instilled in a frickin' fiction.
Yep. It's enough to make you... But most people don't want to know or see that. You can't even talk to tell somebody the Federal Reserve Bank is privately owned. Though they automatically say conspiracy theorist. And it's like, what? Where is this coming from? You're always being attacked by every angle when you're trying to give them truth. Like, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to research it either. But they want to stay completely safe in that cage.
Well, you know, after somebody gets indoctrinated into a cult, the brain will actually form a number of layers in order to protect its programming. Now, this is actually a natural thing, and it actually is part of our evolutionary standpoint that has indeed kept us alive to this point. You see something, you believe it, you protect it, right? However, what happens is you've got the grief process. As soon as you start to let go of something, the first thing that happens is you go into full blank denial, all right? And everybody who's ever tried to tell the truth to somebody who's indoctrinated into the Statenist cult knows exactly what I'm talking about. No, it's not that way. It's not that way. And then after that, they get angry. Usually with you, not with the people who are fricking them over. And then,
no.
And then the third, stage of this grief process is bargaining.
Oh, but what if I just get a job at Monsanto? Maybe then they'll get the organic food from the tuck shop. No, it's not going to work that way.
And then they're on to part four, which is the realization that we have depression. Oh no, it actually is this bad, and I'm now losing my mind control and my indoctrination techniques that have actually been screwing up my mind for decades even. And now I feel really, really sad that I'm no longer under mind control, and now people are calling me disillusioned, as though it's an insult, as if it's insulting to no longer be operating under an illusion. And the fifth and final stage, which most people, statistically speaking, will never achieve, is acceptance.
It's true. Never.
You understand the brain chemistry, how it works, and you understand the grief process. Society makes a hell of a lot more sense. Then if you start to understand insane psychopaths, it makes a whole lot more sense again.
You're just leveling up from there. You're just leveling up. It's so hard trying to figure out, what can you do next to make a difference, and how can you educate on a different angle to all people? But I find it so draining dealing with people that are still inside the box, because the attacks, and I mean, there's only so much a human being's going to take. Then they're violent. It's violent attacks. You know, I get death threats on Anarchy, where I had a state prosecutor, from another state stalking and harassing me on Facebook because I was making logic and common sense in a post where I was sticking up for another anarchist friend of mine.
Can you imagine this guy? How dare she?
Oh, they homed in on me like I'm always getting homed in on. And I'm just coming in just saying, okay, I see where you're coming from. Let's make a logical standpoint here. But as soon as you put it out, they just see it as you're Antifa, you're this, you're that. It's like, where are you getting this from? I'm trying to give you some logic and common sense. It's not that I'm going in and I'm tearing apart your words or the way you're thinking. I'm asking you to find the logical standpoint in how you are thinking. They never want to go there. Never want to go there because there is no logic, common sense. There is zero morality. I think when people start understanding and living morality, it opens up a whole other emotional door in another person. It's actually treating people with respect and, gaining respect, earning respect, working together, like using logic, common sense, being moral to each other is such a hard concept for anybody to really get. And it's actually quite sad because they've never been taught, how things could be. This is logic and reason. These are the parties in which want to rule you. Let's be honest. We're slaves on a plantation. These are your rulers. You have to pick from one of them. You have to elect some officials. What they're going to do is they're going to write down laws. They're going to give it to their dogs, which are policemen, and they're going to enforce them on you, which is going to extort you so we can feed in the system and we can hire this budget so we can pay our political friends the profits, for budgets and for construction or whatever they want. We're going to give it to our friends. So we're going to rob and be a parasite on you, but you get to pick the one who's going to do it to you.
And so that way, people think they're being given a choice. All right. Now, There was a study conducted with children, and it was a study that's, the point of it was to see how we actually become satisfied with the choices that we make. Now, they had two groups of kids under two different separate conditions. First group of kids, they had two different chocolates to eat, all right, two different flavors. And they had to pick which one they wanted and then rate how satisfied they were with their choice. The second group of kids had 40 different flavours of chocolates, and they had to pick the one that they wanted and then rate their level of satisfaction. And surprise, surprise, the ones who had way less choice were a hell of a lot happier with the choices they made. And now, oh, you got Republican, you got Democrat. Well, I'm happy with that choice, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how you keep people satisfied. And once people are satisfied, you no longer have to worry about them causing a threat to you and the system. Just got to keep them distracted in between elections, you know. It's just like, okay, participating in democracy one time. Okay, you get to do this one time every 4 years or something like that. That's the maximum amount you can contribute to society.
Yeah. I mean, It is entirely sick when you see how it all works. It all comes off of parasiting and suctioning off of the slave classes. And it's so disgusting because I don't believe really you can have a government actually working for the people, because politicians inherently want to rule you and have power. And that itself corrupts. I don't believe any noble man wants to rule his fellow man. So anybody who wants to step up into that position and take that into his pocket, I mean, you can't be surprised that, you know, all that money is going to their buddies' projects. And then people, I had somebody say it's for the roads. And I'm like, what are you? They don't even know how things are being done, let alone a court justice system. The United States justice system is so corrupted. It's the boys club, and they want you to have an attorney in their boys club. But the minute you define law, you start reading law, you start presenting law and fighting back, they look at you like, how dare you? This person is, she's out of her ballpark, but you're citing within the means of law, but you're being circled by bailiffs. And you're the one who's being treated like the criminal. Like, how dare you want to fight the system back? How dare you not want to pay your extortion money? And it's comical, but it's not. Like,
it's
who wants?
It's parody.
Yeah, but how can you say, you know, you ask any of those people that are like, oh, well, you know, don't call a policeman if something happens. Give me one person who says they feel so safe when a cop car is behind them and they're driving down the road. No, they do not feel safe. No slave feels safe. They think in their head, oh my gosh, please just pass me. Please don't turn on the lights. I can't afford to be extorted right now. This can't be happening. I'm so nervous. Why should a being have to feel that way? That just tells you right there, that moral feeling that it's telling you right there is telling you that it's wrong what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're being already taught.
There is something wrong when a police officer passes you on the freeway and you feel petrified instead of protected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your moral, what's inherently in you is already telling that person's brain, oh man, I don't want them behind me. I hope they pass me. I need them out of the way from me. They're not listening to their moral sense, which is already telling them it is wrong with what they do. But when you confront them face to face, they support the thin blue line. No, the only reason why I think they would support the thin blue line and put that on their vehicle, the stickers and thing, because they don't want to be a target. See, they wouldn't rather stand up with the rest of the people and say, no, this is wrong what you're doing. This is immoral and it's not right.
Yeah.
God forbid they might make waves. So they rather stay on the team that they think is winning because that makes them safe. That makes them cowards.
That's true. And I think we all suffer from cowardice in one way or another. And my friend Penny Brighton's best activist in New Zealand, by country mile, nobody else even comes close to their level of exposing scumbaggery and consistent being in their faces, and really just the most irritating flea that a big dog could ever frickin' hope to be infested by. You know, that's Penny Bright, you know, just ba-boom, she's our bully.
That's awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
And she tells me, you know, Vinny, what you're going to do
is do one thing every day that scares you. And I go, oh.
Now, why? Why do one thing every day that scares you? It's because that is what courage is. Doing things that frighten you, even though you are afraid. Now, it doesn't mean you have to do everything all at once. Another one of my listeners said, but Vinny, I've got like so many things, I don't know where to start. And it's just like, just think about this. You've currently got about, I don't know, give or take, 10,000 things that are effing you in the a-hole. Okay, just think about just one of them on a daily basis and get that dick out of your mouth. You know, like, bro, one at a time. One little baby step after another. That's how you eventually become free. That's how you eventually allow your morality to overtake your cowardice. That's how you eventually allow your logic to take over your beliefs. Not all at once. Everybody wants, oh, it's going to be so easy, I can do it all at once. You know, I remember when I went out and I was just going, oh, I'll convince everybody that 9/11's an inside job in 5 minutes. You know? You freaking idiot.
I almost feel like I'm in a movie. Like living this life, like this life does not feel real to me. Like I cannot even, it's so utterly absurd that I cannot even get comfortable in it. Like I don't take it serious, Vinny. Like I don't take reality, like I don't have fear. Like I don't take it seriously.
Do you know what one of the symptoms of somebody who's been indoctrinated into a cult is?
What?
They lose their sense of humor.
They do. Wow. But you know, not everybody's stuck in that that left brain dominance, because you have there's people that I'll correspond with and speak freely to. Even just like if I go out of the house, traverse, go get something to eat, you know, something might spark something, and I might have a conversation. There's people that are completely awake to exactly what I say, think, and believe. But they just aren't, they go about their lives. It's like me, I can't do that. Like I can't live the lie and be comfortable about it and pretend that everything's okay, because it's not. I don't want to live like this. Like I don't want my kids, future kids, if we even make it that far, you know, I have to, I don't want them in chains. Like I want them to have, I don't want them to have or advocate for safety. I want them to have freedom. If you want to be safe, you know, you want to give up your safety and have freedom, then you're going to be free. But you can't have them both. You know, a lot of people are comfortable being in their cages as long as they feel safe. But then there's people like me that I don't want anybody to keep me safe. I want to take responsibility for my own actions, and I want to be free. So I don't want any safety measures. I'll handle that when the time comes. You know, I let's live. I mean, if you want to be locked down and safe, don't breed kids anymore that, you know, they're going to want to be locked down and safe because they think that bondage is normal. And then everybody else wants to be free. And these are the same people that are voting to cage you because they're caged. But they don't get the concept, you know.
Mm. How many people have it? Could you give us an example of somebody who actually? Well, you said there that when you're talking with these statements, you feel drained, and I know that feeling. All right. However, yeah. The reverse is true. When you're speaking to somebody awake, and even if you've known them a long time, or even if you've never met them before, and you're actually having a real honest conversation, you don't feel drained. If anything, you feel revitalized. It's an energy transfer that happens. If anybody's ever seen the film the Celestine Prophecies, so basically what happens is you send up energy into the conversation. Now, if you're talking with a scumbag, he will take your energy and sap it off you. If you're talking to somebody who is cool, on the other hand, they send up energy too, and so the energy they're putting up there and your energy that you're putting up there doesn't actually just instantly go and back and forth like that. It actually forms a nexus point in the middle where it creates more energy than either of you could create on your own, and it allows the body and the mind to revitalize itself through an open, honest interaction with other human beings with infinite soul potential. Beautiful. Yes.
That is beautiful. I was picturing it, you know, because I love that movie. And then here you're explaining it into the bit where, you know, you see your typical free-minded or your typical anarchists interact with each other. When we do get-togethers and we do like Anarchapoco and all of us are together, everybody's sitting. It was
I know,
cool,
I can
Lester.
Smoke anything, man. I can smoke that Anacapulco gold. I can smoke anything, man.
No, it's cool because all the energies jive and everybody's like, you could be all about ancient texts and philosophy. You're going to meet an anarchist just like that. And then it just flows. And then you come to another one and that flows. So it's like heaven because you're being intellectually, like the mind is being stimulated. Where you're in a dead society and nobody stimulates it. There's no connection.
What's different
There's no
about
life.
It is it's not just the mind that's being stimulated. It's the everything.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Your body feels different. Your mind feels different. Your heart feels different. Your emotions feel different. I mean, I've had my friend Ben Vigen here, a journalist from New Zealand, who's basically the most demonized journalist the country's ever frickin' had, because all the things he writes, he backs up with at least 3 credible sources. So that means instead of being able to argue with him, they just demonize him. And we've been having a great time, man. We've just been sitting here going, oh, these voting slugs are everything. Bah! You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's been good.
You have to give 3 sources, Vinny, because then they'll say, like, the first and second aren't valid enough. So you give a third source, and then they're going to go in, okay, he's got the sources, so let's just attack him for giving us truth. For destroying the ego.
Yeah. It's, freedom, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Oh, yeah. You know.
And this is the concept as well. You know, freedom's going to be easy. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fantastic. It is sometimes. But most of the time, it's actually frickin' struggle. Okay? Slavery is struggle constantly, but there's no real benefits to it. Apart from perceived benefits that have been told to you by your cult leader. However, freedom has only the benefits that you bring to the table. Right? Mm-hmm. If you do not defend that freedom eternally, you lose it very quickly. You know, it might take you 100 years to overthrow a really corrupt system and a very bad religion of Statenism. But if you do, then you're like, oh, sweet, I'm free now. Now all I have to do is fight for the rest of my life to retain my freedom.
Yeah. Well, freedom isn't given. You have to fight for it. So it's
deceptively,
you know,
titled.
How do you handle the concept when the U.S. soldiers say, well, I fought for your freedom and your rights over in Afghanistan, and you tell him, then how did they get over there?
Yeah, you just say,
and
well,
then they
actually, bro, you were fighting for opium poppies and criminal bankers and scumbaggery, you know, that's why you're traumatized, because you went over there doing things that were really evil to serve the purposes of scumbaggery when you thought you were actually doing the right thing. All right, is it getting there? Mm-hmm. Is it coming through? Is it with the heroin?
Oh, and they still don't want to hear that. Like, it's that's the false ego not accepting truth. They will rather live the lie and die that lie than face the truth. And that's, if it's such a shame that kids are indoctrinated into these state school systems. It's so much can be better, you know, beneficial teaching truth and logic.
That's right. The Anarchy Girl, Lauren, has been my very special guest. I very much appreciate you bringing your warmth and what's the other word here? the appropriate demonization of the scumbaggery pieces of crap that defend their indoctrination. Yeah, there we go. That's a mouthful. Try saying that six times fast, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com if you want to give some money through PayPal, KiwiBank, or sign up to be a Patreon and you get the little rewards and things of that nature. And if you already have donated, you can get into the Vinnie Eastwood Show donors group on Facebook. Just send me a message and I will add you into it. If you've ever donated even once, and you will get early access to brand new shows right when I put them up before they've been released to the public. That's the benefit you get. And thank you so much for supporting me, ladies and gentlemen. I know you really, really do value the service that I provide, and that makes me want to continue providing it for you, not because I want to, but because I have to. It does need to be done. It's a moral obligation, not a choice. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again sometime.
Hi folks, I'm Vinnie Eastwood from the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The first and only New Zealander in history to be offered a talk radio show on an American network. For nearly 10 years I've worked hard to help people's voices be heard. Created the largest online archive of protests, public meetings and long form interviews with activists in New Zealand history. Revealing the hidden and uncomfortable truths of our time that no corporate media will air. On this show, you will hear directly from the activists, journalists, and fringe researchers about every topic and belief structure imaginable. No taboo topics, no fear of doom, and only one rule: have fun. After all, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point? Thousands of hours of free audio and video content with almost any guest on practically any subject you can imagine is available right now for free. Why? Because people all over the world have been giving me a few dollars a month. Many have been giving $5 a week, others $10 and $20, each according to their means. Some so generous as to donate $100 a month with one specific instruction. Just keep doing what you're doing, Vinny. This show has changed and in some cases literally saved lives. There are people who live today who would have taken their own life had it not been for the good humour and mind-blowing conversations with some of the most brilliant people on the planet to remind us that there is a lighter side to genocide, and the only thing worse than the New World Order is the jokes of Vinny Eastwood.